Good afternoon. Warm greetings to everyone. What a wonderful blessing to have God's great Sabbath day, time set aside each week to remember how great God and His plan really is. Something that provides hope in times of trouble, in times of trial, in times of difficulty, in times like we're experiencing in our lives today. These are certainly different times, something none of us have ever experienced before. It's always interesting how God works out His plans, and ultimately, everything works out to fit in to God's plan. We're looking forward to when we can all be together again, praying that that day will come soon, and working towards that. It's interesting that Pentecost and the days of unleavened bread are already behind us, and our attention now turns to the fall festivals. And hopefully all of our prayers are that God's purpose will work out in these fall festivals, that things will work out. There's a lot of things to have to happen for the feasts to come together. We ask for God's blessing upon those plans and those feast plans. A couple years back, we went to the Feast of Tabernacles in Montana. The location is just a short drive from Glacier National Park, and it is truly a great place to enjoy God's creation. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. There's a spot in Glacier Park called Triple Divide Peak, the point where two of the principal continental divides in North America converge. At this point, melting snow and ice can go in one of three directions. One direction would take it northeast, feeding the St. Mary River, going through the Hudson Bay, and ending up in the Atlantic Ocean. Another way would go down the Birch or Marias River to the Missouri and the Mississippi Rivers, and it would end up in the Gulf of Mexico. The third direction would take it west through the Flathead River, the Columbia River, and out to the Pacific Ocean. So from one particular location, as the ice and snow melts, depending on which side it falls, it can end up in vastly different places. As we go out about our lives, we make choices continually. And some of the choices we make in life can lead us down various paths. Those paths can take us in very different directions, ending up in vastly different circumstances. While the melting snow does not have a choice of which path it's going to take, we do have a choice. We have to realize the importance of making good choices in life. It does not matter how old we are. For the young, the choices we make now can influence the rest of our lives. When we get older, our choices can certainly influence many other people, our family and friends around us. Every day we make thousands of choices. Some are of little consequences. Others can be life-changing. Today's title is Choose Life. Something we should consider in every choice we make is to choose life. A lot of the choices we make every day, we don't think about too much. After a while, they become habits. It's important to form good habits. That's why every little choice is very important. But when hard choices come along, we spend more time considering them. How do we make those hard choices? What is the basis of the choices we make in our lives? John C. Maxwell is quoted as saying, "Life is a matter of choices, and every choice makes you." God designed us from the very beginning to be able to make choices. In Genesis 1, in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." He and Jesus Christ were stating their goal and their purpose for us, to become like Him, part of His family. So He designed us to make choices. In the next few verses of Genesis, it discusses the choices of the first man and woman. It also talks about the consequences of those choices, the consequences of which we are still experiencing in our lives today. As we consider the big choices we make in life, they all influence what and who we are. Our choices and friends can greatly affect the course of our lives, as can the choices of our education and career, how we use our resources, whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether it's the other resources we have in life. It all affects the course of our lives. If and who we marry is a big choice with a lifelong significance. From the time we're small children, throughout our adult lives, until we die, we make a series of choices. These choices have an impact on the remainder of our lives. It impacts our friends. It impacts our families. It impacts a lot of people around us. As we grow out of childhood, our choices become more complicated. They can often be difficult to make. But as we make bigger choices, the results of those choices have a bigger impact on our lives. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. We'll ask ourselves, what is the most important choice in life? We're gathered together today, not exactly as we prefer it in person, but we are here before God because of the choices that we have made in our lives. God has given us His Word, His instruction book on making choices. So let us go to His guide. Let us see what He says about making choices. Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 15, is something that we probably all know well, but it's always profitable to go back and look at these things once again. So Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Our great Father and Creator has given us the freedom to choose, to make choices. The most important choice is laid out before us in these verses. Choose wisely. Choose life or death. Choose good or evil. Choose blessing or cursing. Choose God's way or the way of this world. It's just a matter of two opposing ways of life. Or, as putting it more simply, is who are you going to serve? God's ways are defined by His commandments, by His Word, by the life that Jesus Christ lived as an example for us, by living a life of loving God and our fellow man. The other choice is almost anything that does not live up or follow God's way of life. That's why the road to destruction is called the broad way. Everything that is not God's way. God gives us the choice about where our lives will end up. Will it be a physical existence, just physically living our lives and then we die? Or are we going to grow in godly character, to be a part of God's family, to be a part of His plan, to have eternal life? We've just experienced the day of Pentecost, when God provided His Holy Spirit to those who repent and are baptized. The choice many of us have made, but there are quite a few who are among us in the next few years that will be making that very important decision. But with God's Holy Spirit, His power, we have a better understanding of the importance of this choice. With God's Holy Spirit, we truly have the freedom of choice. Before having God's Holy Spirit, we simply live according to the course of this world. God urges us through this passage and throughout the Bible to choose life. Choose His way of life. Choose eternal life. God wants us to consider our lives and what is important and what we do in our lives to make a commitment to Him. Yes, God is looking for us to surrender our lives to Him, to serve Him, and to be a part of His family forever. This section is summed up in verse 19, where Moses urges Israel and us today to choose life. It is interesting that this verses we've just read, the word today is used 4 times. Today indicates urgency. Often we put things off. We don't get important things taken care of as we should. This choice is one that's made over and over again every day of our lives. When we choose God's way of life, we are choosing to submit to Him. In every word, every thought, every action that we take, we have to ask our lives, does it reflect that we are choosing life? Learning to make good choices is important for every one of us. Making good choices lead us to have a productive and abundant life. We can't fall into the habit of just going along with the trends and directions of society around us or letting life happen without considering the path and the choices we make. We live in a time when some avoid making difficult choices or make choices without considering where those choices lead their lives. They don't think about the repercussions. They don't think about what effect their choices will have on themselves and on others. Every choice has a consequence. We need to consider those consequences. Even not making a choice is a choice. I want to turn next to 1 Kings 18, a story I've always found fascinating. Here we find that story of Elijah, that it hadn't rained in over 3 years in and around the area of Samaria. This was probably just a local drought. God was teaching them a lesson. They were searching farther and farther away for just being able to keep their livestock alive. Ahab had been seeking high and low to find Elijah and to destroy the prophets of God. But God had been taking care and supporting Elijah through this whole time. Elijah told Ahab to gather all of Israel and the prophets of Baal and Asherah together. And we see that through this interaction, God is giving Israel a warning, an opportunity to wake up. Are we experiencing such an event right now in our lives? Are we looking closely and what we hold is important? The people had continued to worship the true God in their own way. They also worshiped their idols. They were not committed to one or the other. They were in a situation that doesn't produce growth. It just becomes stagnant. It's that Laodicean attitude, thinking that things are just fine, that I'm fine the way I am, that we really don't need to change. So in 1 Kings 18, I'm going to pick it up in verse 20. 1 Kings 18 and verse 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But of Baal, follow him." So we hear this overwhelming cry of, "We will serve." Oh, wait, no, that wasn't it. It was just silence. The people answered him, not a word. They didn't have the faith to make a choice. This is what happens when you attempt to serve two masters. You get divided. The translations indicates they were off balance. They didn't have a direction or focus, so they did nothing. God wanted them to make a choice. God wants us to make a choice. The choice that provides a direction and a purpose to our lives. Elijah came along and brought a shock to these people. They'd grown comfortable with serving two masters, with their blend of good and evil. God's prophets wake people up to their sins, to pay attention to their relationship with God and with others. God does not want us to hold on to two different ways of life, to two opinions. He wants us to commit our lives to Him, to His way of life. He brings shocks to our lives to wake us up, to bring us to make good choices, to choose life. God, in this case, shows His great power in a dramatic way. When after completely drowning the altar and the sacrifice with water repeatedly, in verse 8, in picking up the story in 1 Kings 18 and verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the word of the and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water and it was that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Think about this scene. God consumed the entire sacrifice. The altar was gone. The stones, the wood, the water, everything was consumed. The dust was even gone. It was all an incredible display of God's great power. Then briefly they had the clarity to choose God. But it didn't last for very long. And then they were back to their old ways. When we have difficult choices, we can't get stuck between two opinions. We need to consider the options. Look at the information we have available. Seek God's will. Seek His input. And move forward, using our resources and time wisely. Sometimes this can take a period of time, but not making a choice also comes with consequences. From the book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation 22, the Bible is full of examples of choices and their outcomes for us to use, for us to learn how important that choices are in our lives. There's a story in the book of Mark that shows how we need to think about our choices. Please turn with me to Mark 10. In Mark 10, we'll pick the story up in verse 17. The story of the rich young ruler, who very enthusiastically and impressively approached Jesus Christ. Mark 10, starting in verse 17. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" He had a great start. An important question. Do we ask ourselves this question? Do we ask, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" It goes on in verse 18. "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good, but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him." This young man made an impression on Jesus Christ. Christ looks at the heart. He saw that he was one who was striving to obey the commandments, at least in the letter of the law. But he saw that he had a flaw. He had something that needed to change. Then Jesus Christ, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This individual was offered an incredible opportunity to be one of Jesus Christ's disciples. He obviously had made a good impression on Jesus Christ. It says that he loved him. But the young man made a bad choice. He chose his wealth, his lifestyle, over eternal life, the physical instead of the spiritual. Christ laid it very plainly and simply for this young man. Yet when he decided, he chose his wealth, he chose his position over God. We're here today because God has given us, or is giving us, the same opportunity to be one of his disciples, to be a part of his family, a part of his kingdom. Sometimes, after we make the choice to commit our lives to God, to serving his people, we can let down and not be as critical of those ongoing choices through the day. How we speak, how we treat others, about our thoughts, our attitudes, can lead us back into the habit of making wrong choices. That's why every choice we make is so important, to keep our focus on the spiritual aspects of life instead of on the physical. Matthew 6:33 tells us what our focus should be. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This statement is made at the end of a discussion about worrying. We need to put our trust and faith in God. Focus on the important spiritual aspects of life instead of focusing on just getting through the day. This is the difficult choice to make in life. It involves giving God a lot more control of the course of our lives. But this is the choice we make when we submit our lives to him, when we choose that course of life. It's important to remember that God has chosen us. This is why we're here, because of his calling. But we have to choose to serve and obey him. Just as the rich young ruler, we are offered that discipleship. What are we doing with what God is offering us? Are we grabbing hold of it and making the best use of it every single day of our lives? God has given us an incredible opportunity. I want to turn now to the book of John, John 15. We'll see how Jesus Christ considers each of us, how that he is choosing us. In John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 11. John 15 and verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." God has called us at this time in history because of his love for us. And we are called to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father. This is difficult to fully comprehend, how that the great, eternal, powerful God and his Son, Jesus Christ, both who put so much effort into our lives and growth, would invite us into the knowledge of their plans, into the purpose for humanity, and for us to be a part of that plan. It's just an incredible opportunity that we have. We don't follow Jesus Christ just because it's what we seek and desire. We have been specifically called and chosen to be His disciples. We need to continually remember what choosing God's way of life means for each of us. It means we bear fruit, and that fruit should remain. When we look at the commandments of God, they are all choices. But in order to fully live up to God's rule, to God's rules, we need help. We need God's Holy Spirit. We need His power working in us to serve, to love, to live by them fully, and to put God's Spirit in our lives. This section includes a command to love one another, which ties back to us loving one another as Jesus Christ loved us. He laid down His life for us. Are we willing to lay down our lives for one another? To truly put our own attitudes and desires aside so that others can live their lives. This is another one of those hard choices we make in life. That again is where we need God's help and His strength. We need to pray. We need to be humble because God is leading and guiding and directing our lives. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 10, it reminds us that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had obtained mercy, but now, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are chosen to become priests in God's kingdom. We are to be a holy people. The choices we make every day in our lives should reflect this calling. A priest is one who teaches God's ways and God's truth and God's laws. We should be living that. We should be a living example of God's way of life. The book of Proverbs is full of help in making good choices in life. It has great value and should be included as a regular part of our reading and study. I want to look at a few things that this book brings out. We're going to start in Proverbs 14 or Proverbs 16. Either Proverbs 14:12 or 16:25, your choice. Something important enough to be repeated, but we find it important things to remember in life, making choices in life. Proverbs 14:12 or 16:25, again, your choice. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We're all born into this world at a different time. We experience different things. We meet different people. Throughout our lives, we have different experiences. We, as physical humans, base our standards and our morals on the society and the education from the world around us. We're influenced by our environment. The world is led astray by the God of this world. Satan has a huge influence on the things that happen around us. We've seen that in the events in the last week. We remember what happened to Adam and Eve when they, being influenced by Satan, used human reasoning. Looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they thought it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. It seemed right to them, but its end was death. Our lives need to be built on John 17:17, God's Word. God's Word is truth. We need to have truth in our lives. All that we see, hear, and experience in our lives need to be measured by God's Word. We must be continually reading it in order to use it properly, asking God for His wisdom and His knowledge. After all, they're His words. We should have His input and His help so that we can put it to use properly in our daily lives. Consider that God's ways, His way of life, is pure. And though there are many different choices in life that are not sin, to combine things that do not show godly love do not build the purity of God's laws. They don't build on His truth. Our human thinking does not add to the perfect spiritual law. I'm going to turn back just a few pages in Proverbs, to Proverbs 4. We can consider how these words lead us to make good choices in life. How important is it to choose to commit our lives to living God's way of life? Proverbs 4, and we're going to start in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. We need to choose to listen to God's words. Don't let them depart from our minds and from our hearts. We study and meditate God's word. We take in God's truth. That's what we need to choose. Because our carnal mind is fighting against God and His ways. As Romans 8:7 explains, we're instructed to keep our hearts with all diligence. We need to be careful what we choose to say, what we hear, what we see, how we think. Consider each choice carefully, because so many of the choices we make, the bad choices, can take a long, difficult time to get them out of our minds and out of our lives. Looking at God, allowing God to lead our lives, to guide our choices, letting Him guide our ways, leading to His kingdom. Let's compare what we're told here in Philippians to what we're to this to Philippians 2. Let's go back to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Once again, we're told to make good choices. Philippians 2, starting in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed me, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Be harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. These verses carry a lot of meaning for each of us and for our lives. We are to choose to submit and follow God. We're to work out our own salvation. Not that we work for salvation, because God has given us that opportunity through His grace. But our choices in life, what we see as important, how we spend our time, using the blessings that God has provided. It's God working in us that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Do we do all things without complaining? How about in the last few weeks? Did anyone complain? Yeah, maybe we still have a few things to work on in our lives. All of this leads us to understand that we need to choose life. Verse 16 instructs us, hold fast the word of life, continually making a conscious choice to have God's Spirit working in us. Both our physical and spiritual lives are a series of choices. We need to consider where our choices are leading us. Do they lead to death, or do they lead to life? Are we choosing life in everything that we do? Roy T. Bennett said, attitude is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Optimism is a choice. Kindness is a choice. Giving is a choice. Respect is a choice. Whatever choices you make makes you. Choose wisely. In Proverbs 2, we find more wisdom about making the choice of life. We're going to read this from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 2, starting in verse 11. Proverbs 2 and verse 11. It says, wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. So follow the steps of the good and stay on the paths of the righteous, for only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. As humans, we don't like being told what to do. God doesn't tell us that you have to do this or that. This world has a great deal of pressure on it to conform to the standards of society. God has set before each one of us a choice, the most important choice in life. And in reality, this choice has only two options. Serve the God of this world, following the path of the society around us, the way of human reasoning, the way that leads to death, or serve and obey the eternal God. This is the narrow path, because anything that is not of God is of this world. And it's the path of life. Some have this choice to make yet in their lives. Others have made the choice. But this choice isn't just made once and we're done. This is an ongoing choice every day in our lives. It's made every choice that we make. How we think, how we talk, how we treat others, what we do with our time, what we do with our money. Every part of our life should reflect the choice of living God's ways. Do our choices reflect that God is living in us? Do they reflect the character that Jesus Christ set the standard for? Is our life one that shows Jesus Christ is living in us? Every choice, every day, should grow to be more and more reflective, more and more a reflection of Jesus Christ and His godly character. The things we experience in life, the trials, the tests, the troubles, the suffering, the difficulties, and even the joys and triumphs, all come together to build our character. This is true both now and in the future. Choosing life now gives the physical life a purpose and a direction that makes life more fulfilling. When difficulties come, we realize that these things teach us lessons and help us build character. It also provides hope for God's kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, when all can know God's ways, when they can all experience true peace, something that humans have really never experienced from the beginning to the end in their lives unless they have had God and His Spirit. Good choices come from practice. We need to develop the habit of making good choices. It starts one at a time and builds from there. We choose to pray. We choose to study. We choose to meditate. We choose to fast. We choose to draw close to God. We choose to stay close to God. It's a daily choice that we make. Our growth, choosing life, is by making these daily choices. God wants us to develop perfect, holy, righteous character. The character God and Jesus Christ have through the choices we make, through the things we experience, through our lives that we're living. We learn to trust in Him. We learn to be a part of His family, looking forward to His kingdom. I want to go back now to where we started today in Deuteronomy 30. We're going to read this once again, but we're going to read this in the New Living Version. And we're going to go back just a couple of verses further into Deuteronomy 30. We'll start at verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11 in the New Living Translation. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. God is making it clear, making it easy for us to understand, so that we can put it to work into our daily lives. These things are very important in life, and God wants to make them clear and abundantly clear to us. So it continues on in verse 15. Now listen. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in His ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Every choice in life has a consequence. It leads us in a particular direction in life, leads us down a path. A drop of water in the Glacier National Park can end up in vastly different places, in three different oceans. But the choices we make in life can even be farther apart than those three oceans. How far apart is life and death? Verse 17 continues, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. God is giving us the choice to choose between life and death. Now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would have chose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. Committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has set before us a choice. He calls us. He grants us repentance. And upon baptism, we are given His Holy Spirit. He guides us to understand His truth. He offers us His kingdom. He offers us discipleship. He offers us life. We must choose to respond by living God's way of life, committing our entire life to Him. Character is created by our continual conscious choice to build a relationship with God, submitting everything to Him, acknowledging that He is our source of strength and of life. We must have absolute faith in Him. We need to choose life.